In June 2004, activists in San Francisco protested the annual Biotechnology Industry Organization meeting. But meanwhile, many U.S. farmers are increasing their use of genetically modified crops. In 2003, 81% of soybeans and 40% of corn crops in the U.S. were planted with GMO seeds. Ingrid Evian Elias, reporting from Lincoln, Nebraska, after 2 weeks bicycling through the Midwest, explores what forces are driving farmers to adopt this technology.
Here in Nebraska, they grow corn, oceans of it, in neat rows. Much of it has been engineered to be resistant to the herbicide Roundup. Wheat, the dominant crop in other areas of the Midwest, is still mainly non-GMO. I spoke with Chris Novick of Syngenta last Friday about his company's research in wheat bioengineering. Novick, Syngenta's science communications manager, was planning to attend the biotech conference in San Francisco that weekend. Novick said Syngenta is working on developing a wheat variety resistant to Fusarium head blight, a disease affecting wheat in the Dakotas. But Fred Kirschenman, director of the Leopold Center for Sustainable Agriculture, thinks this approach is too narrow. He believes that growing crops in monocultures is what's causing such diseases in the first place. Kirschenman described Aldo Leopold's theory to me.
Whenever one species becomes too dense within an ecological neighborhood, then nature finds a way to reduce that species, the numbers of that species, in order to bring it more back into some synergy with the other species in the system. So when you have these enormously dense species of whether it's plants or animals, you're constantly struggling against nature's effort, you know, to reduce that. And so we have increased diseases, we have increased pests of various kinds, you know, and these are all part of having to struggle with keeping that system going. And, you know, transgenic technologies is simply another tool in the toolbox to try to make the monoculture work a little longer, but it's contrary to the systems.
I asked Novick from Syngenta whether he thinks growing crops in monocultures is ecologically problematic. He answered in economic language.
Well, I think what I would prefer to focus on, and that is the idea of serving farmers. And farmers have been, from very early days, extremely responsive to the marketplace. And we do have today a situation where we've got tremendous new uses for corn and for soybeans, which has created a demand for those products. And accordingly, then, farmers are planting corn and soybeans because they know that when the crop is harvested, I mean, they can walk away with money in the bank as opposed to struggling from year to year.
Nancy Vogelsberg Bush, an organic cattle farmer outside of Marysville, Kansas, knows all about the difficulties of making a profit. But instead of relying on biotechnology, chemicals, or government subsidies, she relies on the natural fertility of her soil to feed her small herd of cattle. Her only purchased input is rock salt for the cattle. When she's not occupied with Bossy's Best, her organic hot dog business, Vogelsberg Bush works 12-hour shifts on the local envelope factory assembly line 3 nights a week. Her co-workers, she says, are mostly other farmers also trying to keep their land.
I had to change my farming techniques to include just not production, but in marketing. And I had to take real control over that and then reach out to those people to say, well, if you want me to be your farmer, then this is what it costs you, because this is what it cost me. And I have to buy this land and I have to feed my children and my cows. And so I got to keep track of all these costs. And so that's why I came up with this hot dog.
Vogelsberg Bush feels customers should be willing to pay more for food to compensate for the higher cost of growing it in a manner that is healthy for the land and for people. But here in the Midwest, the demand for organic products is still small. Escalating costs of land, equipment, and fertilizer, and low returns have left many farmers without much choice but to chase the whims of the market or to lose their farms. Even farmers who recognize topsoil erosion and water contamination are forced to seek higher and higher yields of crops by any means they can, usually with more chemicals. Industry claims the use of GMO seeds lessens the need to apply pesticides. According to a report released last November by the Northwest Science and Environmental Policy Center, the use of pesticides in the U.S. decreased during the first 3 years of commercial GMO use. Since 2000, however, the report says, there has been a massive increase in pesticide use. Researchers at the Land Institute in Salina, Kansas, say that these expensive inputs are costly to the soil as well as to farmers. They say applying a drug cocktail of fertilizers and pesticides is like subjecting a dying land to chemotherapy. Meanwhile, annual plowing is leading to dramatic losses of topsoil. The Land Institute believes it has a more viable approach, what they call natural systems agriculture. Rather than having to control every aspect of a crop system with fertilizers, plowing, and herbicides, natural systems agriculture involves the use of crop groups which mimic ecological patterns. Jerry Glover is a researcher at the Land Institute.
One thing that we have found as human beings, we don't make very good micromanagers of very complex processes on large landscape areas. And most of our current agricultural management strategies, like most of our other behaviors, based on controlling and regulating those processes. We try it with nutrients, nitrification, and you know, our approach is somewhat ignorance-based. We would rather let the plants, the vegetative structure, be the micromanager of those complex processes rather than us having to constantly be out there turning some switch or knob or something to try and get a complex system to do what we think it needs to.
Glover and other researchers are seeking to breed perennial crop varieties as the keystone of their natural systems agriculture approach, a process which they admit will take generations. The Land Institute calls conventional bioengineering crude and simplistic because it tends to ignore the complexities of the entire plant system. They say they would support biotechnology only if it would lead to the establishment of an agriculture modeled after the natural world. From Lincoln, Nebraska, I'm Ingrid Evian Elias.